Introducing Myself. Written in the early 90s as a performance piece, performed a couple of times, and slightly updated for this volume. I am a man. Now you may think I've made some kind of silly mistake about gender, or maybe that I'm trying to fool you, because my first name ends in A, and I own 3 bras, and I've been pregnant 5 times, and other things like that that you might have noticed, little details. But details don't matter. If we have anything to learn from politicians, it's that details don't matter. I am a man, and I want you to believe and accept this as a fact, just as I did for many years. You see, when I was growing up at the time of the wars of the Medes and Persians, and when I went to college just after the Hundred Years' War, and when I was bringing up my children during the Korean, Cold, and Vietnam Wars, there were no women. Women are a very recent invention. I predate the invention of women by decades. Well, if you insist on pedantic accuracy, women have been invented several times in widely varying localities, but the inventors just didn't know how to sell the product. Their distribution techniques were rudimentary, and their market research was nil, and so, of course, the concept just didn't get off the ground. Even with a genius behind it, an invention has to find its market, and it seemed like for a long time the idea of women just didn't make it to the bottom line. Models like the Austen and the Bronte were too complicated, and people just laughed at the suffragette, and the Wolf was way too far ahead of its time. So when I was born, there actually were only men. People were men. They all had one pronoun, his pronoun. So that's who I am. I am the generic he, as in, if anybody needs an abortion, he will have to go to another state. Or, a writer knows which side his bread is buttered on. That's me, the writer. Him. I am a man. Not maybe a first-rate man. I'm perfectly willing to admit that I may be, in fact, a kind of second-rate or imitation man, a pretend-a-him. As a him, I am to a genuine male him as a microwaved fish stick is to a whole grilled Chinook salmon. I mean, after all, can I inseminate? Can I belong to the Bohemian Club? Can I run General Motors? Theoretically, I can, but you know where theory gets us, not to the top of General Motors. And on the day when a Radcliffe woman is president of Harvard University, you wake me up and tell me, will you? Only you won't have to, because there aren't any more Radcliffe women. They were found to be unnecessary and abolished. And then, I can't write my name with P in the snow, or it would be awfully laborious if I did. I can't shoot my wife and children and some neighbors and then myself. Oh, to tell you the truth, I can't even drive. I never got my license. I chickened out. I take the bus. That is terrible. I admit it. I am actually a very poor imitation or substitute man. And you could see it when I tried to wear those army surplus clothes with ammunition pockets that were trendy and I looked like a hen in a pillowcase. I am shaped wrong. People are supposed to be lean. You can't be too thin, everybody says so, especially anorexics. People are supposed to be lean and taut, because that's how men generally are, lean and taut. Or anyhow, that's how a lot of men start out, and some of them even stay that way. And men are people. People are men. That has been well established. And so people, real people, the right kind of people, are lean. But I'm really lousy at being people, because I'm not lean at all, but sort of podgy, with actual fat places. I am untaught. And then, people are supposed to be tough. Tough is good. But I've never been tough. I'm sort of soft, and actually sort of tender. Like a good steak. Or like Chinook salmon, which isn't lean and tough, but very rich and tender. But then salmon aren't people. Or anyhow, we have been told that they aren't in recent years. We have been told that there is only one kind of people, and they are men. And I think it is very important that we all believe that. It certainly is important to the men. What it comes down to, I guess, is that I am just not manly. Like Ernest Hemingway was manly, the beard and the guns and the wives and the little short sentences. I do try. I have this sort of beardoid thing that keeps trying to grow, 9 or 10 hairs on my chin, sometimes even more. But what do I do with the hairs? I tweak them out. Would a man do that? Men don't tweak. Men shave. Anyhow, white men shave, being hairy, and I have even less choice about being white or not than I do about being a man or not. I am white, whether I like being white or not. The doctors can do nothing for me. But I do my best not to be white, I guess, under the circumstances, since I don't shave. I tweak. But it doesn't mean anything, because I don't really have a real beard that amounts to anything. And I don't have a gun, and I don't have even one wife, and my sentences tend to go on and on and on with all this syntax in them. Ernest Hemingway would have died rather than have syntax. Or semicolons. I use a whole lot of half-assed semicolons. There was one of them just now. That was a semicolon after semicolons. And another one after now. And another thing, Ernest Hemingway would have died rather than get old. And he did. He shot himself. A short sentence. Anything rather than a long sentence. A life sentence. Death sentences are short and very, very manly. Life sentences aren't. They go on and on, all full of syntax and qualifying clauses and confusing references and getting old. And that brings up the real proof of what a mess I have made of being a man. I am not even young. Just about the time they finally started inventing women, I started getting old. And I went right on doing it, shamelessly. I have allowed myself to get old and haven't done one single thing about it, with a gun or anything. What I mean is, if I had any real self-respect, wouldn't I at least have had a facelift or some liposuction? Although liposuction sounds to me like what they do a lot of on TV when they are young or young-ish, though not when they are old, and when one of them is a man and the other a woman, though not under any other circumstances. What they do is, this young or youngish man and woman take hold of each other and slide their hands around on each other, and then they perform liposuction. You are supposed to watch them while they do it. They move their heads around and flatten out their mouth and nose on the other person's mouth and nose and open their mouths in different ways, and you are supposed to feel sort of hot or wet or something as you watch. What I feel is like I'm watching two people doing liposuction, and this is why they finally invented women? Surely not. As a matter of fact, I think sex is even more boring as a spectator sport than all the other spectator sports, even baseball. If I'm required to watch a sport instead of doing it, I'll take show jumping. The horses are really good looking. The people who ride them are mostly these sort of Nazis, but like all Nazis, they are only as powerful and successful as the horse they are riding. And it is, after all, the horse who decides whether to jump that five-barred gate or stop short and let the Nazi fall off over its neck. Only usually the horse doesn't remember it has the option. Horses aren't awfully bright. But in any case, show jumping and sex have a good deal in common, though you usually can only get show jumping on American TV if you can pick up a Canadian channel, which is not true of sex. Given the option, though I often forget that I have an option, I certainly would watch show jumping and do sex. Never the other way round. But I'm too old now for show jumping, and as for sex, who knows? I do. You don't. Of course, golden oldies are supposed to jump from bed to bed these days, just like the horses jumping the five-barred gates. Bounce, bounce, bounce. But a good deal of this super sex at 70 business seems to be theory again, like the woman CEO of General Motors and the woman president of Harvard. Theory is invented mostly to reassure people in their 40s, that is men, who are worried. That is why we had Karl Marx, and while we still have economists, though we seem to have lost Karl Marx. As such, theory is dandy. As for practice, or praxis, as the Marxists used to call it, apparently because they liked X's, you wait till you're 60 or 70, and then you can tell me about your sexual practice, or praxis, if you want to, though I make no promises that I will listen. And if I do listen, I will probably be extremely bored and start looking for some show jumping on the TV. In any case, you are not going to hear anything from me about my sexual practice or praxis, then, now, or ever. But all that aside, here I am, old. When I wrote this, I was 60 years old, a 60-year-old smiling public man, as Yeats said, but then he was a man. And now I am over 70, and it's all my own fault. I get born before they invent women, and I live all these decades trying so hard to be a good man that I forget all about staying young, and so I didn't. And my tenses get all mixed up. I just am young, and then all of a sudden I was 60 and maybe 80, and what next? Not a whole lot. I keep thinking there must have been something that a real man could have done about it. Something short of guns, but more effective than oil of Olay. But I failed. I did nothing. I absolutely failed to stay young. And then I look back on all my strenuous efforts, because I really did try. I tried hard to be a man, to be a good man, and I see how I failed at that. I am at best a bad man. An imitation, phony, second-rate him with a ten-hair beard and semicolons. And I wonder what was the use. Sometimes I think I might just as well give the whole thing up. Sometimes I think I might just as well exercise my option, stop short in front of the five-barred gate, and let the Nazi fall off onto his head. If I'm no good at pretending to be a man and no good at being young, I might just as well start pretending that I am an old woman. I am not sure that anybody has invented old women yet, but it might be worth trying.